وما كانت من أسيتنا من جن شلاكا تكشور النيل تامين التسمى الشيء بالذين
with Krishna's idea. So he's trying to understand that I have to make my consciousness Krishna consciousness. It's not exactly a mechanical thing. One has to understand and accept that. It's not a dogmatic thing. That just, you know, I believe in Islam and the... as usual, when reading Srila Prabhupada's books, we have the translation and purport. The translation is to be understood from the purport, not otherwise. The purport elaborates on what is being said, because actually in anything that's said by anyone, there is, when something is spoken, apart from what is directly said, there is much which is understood even without being spoken. That means certain information, certain attitudes to life, they are implicit in what is said in any exchange. Sometimes even without speaking, there is exchange of information, or one may indicate by an angry look, by a happy look. That's why it's recommended to generally these karmis who are trying to promote goodwill within the world. They have slogans such as smile, it costs nothing. Or smile, it improves your face value. We have such sayings. You smile at everyone, and then that will make others happy. So, here, Prabhupada in the purport is giving the background on which Vidur is making his questions to Maitreya, that when he's talking about a great yogi, in this case Kardama Muni and his wife, and how they united and produced children, that it was already understood. Vidur, when he spoke, he was speaking in a manner in which it was understood between himself and Maitreya that what are the symptoms of a Mahayogi, what is the culture that a great yogi and his wife follows. If a yogi is married, mostly you think of a yogi not married, but one can be married and be a yogi also. What is the purpose of their life, the spiritual purpose of their life? That is already understood in the question. When he's making this question, it's understood between the two of them that they're discussing on the platform of Vedic culture and Vedic knowledge and the paradigms that go with that, the axioms that go with that, the mindset that goes with that. Now, many times, the academic scholars, they don't take the purports of the acharyas when they study the Shastra. They just take it and read it and they say, oh, Krishna is immoral. Instead of trying to understand the Shastra according to the way it was presented by Vyasadeva and the characters he's presented according to their understanding, they impose their own understandings according to their own cultural background. And they come to the conclusion that Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is recommending, he's giving a license for unrestricted violence, and he's recommending violence, and he's immoral, and so many things. Instead of trying to understand in the spirit of Shastra, they impose their own understanding on it. Because here is this Shastra, that means that is a direction to human society. So it means communication from one. Although it's a book, it's a communication. Words are a medium of communication. The shastra that is known as Shruti, original Vedic shastra. And then there's another division. Shruti means that which is heard, which means it has to be spoken. And then there's Smriti, which is that which is remembered, which is an elaboration on Shruti. But whatever it is, it's communication. Krishna speaks Bhagavad Gita, or the Vedas, they emanate from the breathing of Narayana. Then they are spread within human society by various rishis. Then Vyasadeva, he compiled all these shastras in written form. So it's a communication. How is a communication to be understood? It can often be misunderstood. Words can easily be misunderstood. It's, however, clearly it's written. There's always someone who will misunderstand. Misunderstanding can come in various ways, either because the person who's speaking or writing doesn't express himself clearly, or the person who's hearing doesn't have the, they may not have the background knowledge to even understand, just like you see here. If you don't have the background knowledge of what a Mahayogi is and what the Vedic culture is, then you're not going to understand this. That's why Prabhupada is giving his purport. And it's recommended before reading Srimad Bhagavatam, one should first at least have some superficial understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Because one cannot understand the elevated spiritual principles of Srimad Bhagavatam without having the background knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So one may misunderstand due to lack of knowledge, or due to lack of clear expression by the speaker or writer. One may misunderstand because he has a different mindset or a different training. Just like, for instance, in India, if we make an indication with the thumb, like this, what is that? That's, what are you saying, challenge? This is considered, it's not, if you go like this to someone, it's not considered very good, huh?
It's mocking him.
Mocking, yeah. But in I don't know, in America or whatever, but in England, if you go like that, that means... It means, yeah, it's a sign of... It's difficult to express, actually. It means a sign of approval, or yes, I agree, and it's a kind of informal... It's especially between men. It's a kind of, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, fine. Great. Thumbs up, sir. So there are different gestures. In India, if you go like that, that means giving a blessing. Although in the Western country, in England, it means stop. Maybe the policemen do that here also? They give their blessings like this? In the Western countries, if you're driving, someone goes like that. Of course, you may just drive past, but if it's a policeman, then it means stop. You have to stop. So it may be due to different culture when that one is... The same words or the same indication may mean something else, just like one word in one language may mean something else. Even there are many such words. We say Parikshit Maharaj. So sometimes in the Western countries, in English speaking countries in the West, say, well, should we say Parikshit, because that last syllable, it's a vulgar expression. It means it's a vulgar expression for stool. You see? And then in Russia, you see, we have so many names, just like with the word suk. So just like we have a name, Ram Sukhdas, or Shama Sukhada. So, but in Russia, you might not want to give a disciple such a name, because suk in Russian means what? Something not very good, huh? What is it? I can't remember. Pig or something.
It's a female book.
Yeah, it's a bitch. Kuti. Like this. So if you give the name someone. Anyway, it's close enough, whatever. So there may be linguistic misunderstandings. One may not even understand the language at all. One may not understand the someone may speak very unclear. The pronunciation may be different. If someone from Anantapur goes to Srikakulam and they speak Telugu, they may not understand, isn't it? It's different. They may speak Telugu, but the pronunciation is going to be different. And even the words they use and everything. So there are so many. And plus, the person who's listening, he may not want to understand. You must have that experience when you're trying to explain something to someone and they don't want to listen. When we're preaching, they or even in some affair, they may accuse you. You did this wrong. You say, well, actually this, and they don't want to listen at all. They're just convinced. They don't like to listen. They're just convinced. I am right, you are wrong. So they don't even like to listen. So this communication of spiritual knowledge, there are so many factors required for this. Here, Vidura has asked Maitreya Muni that you speak to me, and he's telling that Takne Susrusha Vevada, you speak, I am Susrusha, I'm ready to hear, I'm eager to hear. Not that you tell some story and if it's nice I'll listen to it, and if not I won't. And several times people have told me that, you know, you should speak more nicely and tell more stories and, you know, make it more entertaining and people will like it. And once in Russia, someone told me that, came up to me after the class and said that, you're like Jayadvaita Swami, you're not very nice. Your classes are not nice. So, they may consider that, if he speaks the way I like, then I'll accept it. And if not, I won't accept it. That's why in preaching, Prabhupada, I remember once I was in a darshan and devotee asked Prabhupada that, oh, how should we preach? And Prabhupada, he paraphrased from Prabodhananda Saraswati that he said, first of all, you go to a person and you tell him that, my dear sir, you are very wonderful. You are very wonderful. Everything about you is very nice. So in this way, they'll like to listen to you. If you go up to someone and say, well, my dear sir, you are simply a rascal fool number one. Most people won't be ready to listen to that, even if they are rascal and fool number one, which in most cases they are in the modern age. But you tell them, you are very nice. And they'll say, yes. They'll think, this person is intelligent. He's understood. What is my actual position? So you say like that, and then you get their attention. And so you say, I have only one request from you, that you give up all the hogwash, this word, probably, these hogwash, useless ideas in your mind, and surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's one way of communicating. You get their attention, and then speak the truth. So there are so many ways we can't understand, that we misunderstand. And another reason may be that we're simply, if we're not sincere to hear, then we won't hear. You can, just like it's recommended that one should take sadhu sangha, one should associate with sadhus. You can live with sadhus for years and his lectures day after day. I used to lecture for some minimum 2 hours, often 4 hours, 5 hours. It's not unusual for him. He would go on and on. Once he started, he wouldn't stop. He'd go on. They'd be trying to stop him, but he wouldn't stop. He'd go on and on. So Prabhupada said, I didn't meet my Guru Maharaj more than a dozen times, but caught the essence. He was able to distribute that all over the world. And others who took it up, who caught the essence, they took it up. Some caught it, some didn't. Depends on sincerity. Nowadays, there are so many people who are interpreting Prabhupada's words and trying to change it and saying in the name of Prabhupada, so many things are going on. So Prabhupada, he presented his books in a very simple manner. You see here, he's explaining, in his Prabhupada, he's explaining what is the background Karda Muni, he's a great Mahayogi, and his wife, and how the yogis, what is the system? they used to follow, because in these countries, in the Western countries especially, people have no idea about these things. And in India also, people have no idea. In fact, they have a worse idea. Now, they have some idea, but it's a wrong idea, so they're in a worse position. Just like that story, if someone knows something, if someone goes for piano lessons to the master musician, if he knows nothing, then they charge him a certain price. And if he already knows how to play a little bit, they charge him double. Because if he learned from someone who's not a proper teacher, and he thinks, oh, I already know, it's more difficult to teach. So like that, in India, it's more difficult to teach in some ways, because people think they already know something. Of course, in the West now, they all think they're all great yogis, and they already know so many things also. But Prabhupada is pointing out, he's making it very clear that Mahayogi doesn't mean, as Prabhupada explains here in his purport, it doesn't mean you go to some... Prabhupada's indirectly referring here to this Yogi Mahesh, whatever his name was, who was in the Western countries at that time teaching so-called transcendental meditation. So Prabhupada is criticizing. There's no recommendation in the Vedic scriptures that one can go on enjoying material sense gratification at one's whims, as one likes, and at the same time become a great meditator by paying a rascal some money. So he's referring here to this Yogi Mahesh, what's his name? Maharishi, so-called. Maharishi. He tells you, you just pay some money and you learn this so-called transcendental meditation and it will improve your sex life. Yoga for sex. They've made some book, I saw. Yoga, how to practice yoga, then you'll become very healthy and then you can enjoy sex like that. But yoga means yoga indriya samyamya. Yoga means for controlling the senses. And they've used it as a means to you control the senses for some time, and then when the senses get very strong, then you enjoy like anything. Rascals. So Prabhupada says openly, rascal. That this idea, you pay someone some money, you get some mantra, and then you become a great yogi, meditator. Years ago, before I joined Guru Maharaj, one of my uncles was telling me about this transcendental meditation. He said some of his friends, business associates or whatever, they signed up for this transcendental meditation, and they were all given a mantra, and they were told, this is your own secret mantra, don't tell it to anybody. So then afterwards, they said to each other, hey, what mantra did you get? Because, you know, they're not very serious. And they found out they all got the same mantra. They just went, you know, they thought, you know, let's go to this transcendental meditation. Yeah, it's only $35. And actually, in those days, $35 was quite a lot of money. Whatever. So they thought, anyway, you know, let's, you know, just for some fun, they thought, let's go. They pretended to be very serious about this. So like that. Simply cheating, and who cares? They pay the money and they think I'm a great meditator. And rascals. One rascal leads another. Andha yat andai rupaniyamanas. The blind is leading the blind. Andha paramparanyai. That's not only in the Vedic literatures, even in the Bible it's there. That the blind leading the blind and they all fall in the ditch. So that's it. That's modern life. The blind are leading the blind. There's no question of falling in the ditch. You're already in the ditch. So, we take this as normal. Just like the pig, he's lying in the filthy drain. And he thinks, this is normal, this is nice. If you take the pig out and say, hey, it's time for you to get washed, he'll protest. Oh, washed? Come on. I mean, enjoying here in the stooly drain. So he thinks this is nice. Prabhupada told that story it's from the Shastra. Indra was cursed to become a pig. And after some time he thought, this is nice. Brihaspati wanted to call him back. He said, come on, it's time to come back and be Indra. Stop being a pig. He said, come on, it's nice being a pig. What do I want to be Indra for? It's great, you know, if I'm Indra I have to, okay, you can dance with the Apsaras, but you know, I got my wife also. Why do you think that the Apsaras are more beautiful than my wife? She's got nice hairs, and, you know, there's nice perfume, all this stool of the drain sticky on the hairs of her body, and, you know, and she's great. She's got my kids. What do I want to go and be Indra for? So this is Maya. Everyone's in Maya. So Shastra is there to get us out of Maya. But then we have to be guided how to understand Shastra. Shastra, as Prabhupada said, is not meant for armchair meditators. That you sit in a nice big armchair and you read the Bhagavad Gita and say, oh yeah, okay, that's right. Nice. Well, in my opinion, Bhagavad Gita means you should just enjoy life to the full. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. When I first came to India, first time I came for preaching, and I was one of the first, I went on this BBT live party, I think the very first person I met, I showed him Prabhupada's books, and then he gave me a lecture on the meaning of Bhagavad Gita. That actually in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you should perform your duty to your family. I was surprised because, well, I read Bhagavad Gita and I read that Krishna is telling Arjuna to kill all his family members. So, I don't quite understand where you got it from. I mean, I don't know if you're a murderer or what, if you consider your duty to your family is to kill them all. But, in other words, he'd interpreted it for his own sense gratification. Prabhupada makes it so clear within his books. Again, just in this purport, in every purport. What is the purpose of life? Not this sense gratification, cat and dog business, as Prabhupada used to call it. Not this cat and dog business. What? They call it civilization. And they've made a whole big civilization to do what? So much study. Billions of dollars spent on research, science. This president of India is so much respected because he's a scientist. Oh, he's a scientist. But what is the result? At the end of all their science and all their big buildings and so much technological progress, you can sit on a rock in the middle of the ocean and make a phone call to someone else sitting on a rock in an ocean on the other side of the world. For all their technological progress, their mode of life is exactly the same as the cats and the dogs who don't need a cell phone to communicate with others, and they don't need a big apartment. Their life is going on the same basis that, you know, if there's a hole, use it. Stick what's yours in there. It's the cat and dog civilization. Sex, they're simply interested in sex life. They've increased the cell phones they advertise that you can get the cricket scores from a woman. Ah, you can phone up and you can chat with some lady on the other end. So what's it all for? All their technological progress is just so they can enjoy sex more. And you can hear the voice. I mean, I've never done it, but you can hear some sweet voice. But what do you know? Should the woman you're imagining, it's some beautiful woman. She might be, you know, 99 years old. You don't know. You're imagining that it's some beautiful woman, but she's just sitting there because it's a job for her, because she's some kind of a prostitute anyway. You know, she just speaks to unknown men all day. And she gets some money for that. And they think this is wonderful. You see, in modern society, we've made it technologically possible. You see, with so much technology that now you can enjoy pornography. You can turn on your TV and you can get on the video and you can see all this. It's all made for your convenience, that right in your home you can enjoy watching people live like cats and dogs. Worse than cats and dogs. So Prabhupada is pointing these things out. You see, the mundane scholars, they read the Shastra and they interpret in their own way that Krishna is very immoral, and we are very moral. We have a very advanced civilization. And this Vedic culture, it's very backward. This is how they malinterpret. That's why we have to read the Shastra we have to read with Srimad Bhagavatam, with Prabhupada's purports. Then otherwise we'll be free, we'll be infected by Mayavad, we'll be infected by materialism, we'll be infected by our own misconceptions. We have to study the Shastra, understand the Shastra, hear the Shastra. How? The same way that Arjuna accepted, that Sarvam Etat Ritam Manye Yang Mang Vadasi Keshava. that whatever you're telling me, Krishna, Arjuna said, I accept. Not that I got a letter from someone the other day that, well, I don't accept everything that Prabhupada said, but most of it. Rascal. Yeah, he's pretty good, Prabhupada. You know, he almost agrees with me, but you know, he's not quite there. He said, I'm a member of the Fallen Devotees Club. He said that we'd all like to go to God, back to Godhead, but we don't have much luck following the regulated principles. So, and said like this. He was introducing himself to me by some email. So, we'd like to go to the back to Godhead, but we don't like to follow the regulated principles. So you're not going to go back to Godhead. If you like, you have to follow. And your papa is pretty good, but, you know, not quite as philosophically advanced as me. Give him 90%, 95%. No, actually, I understood it better. But anyway, quite good. Prabhupada's pretty good. That's not the way. Then you can't understand anything. Understanding means standing under Prabhupada. Like that. You have to take the humble position. So these books are not something to be read in the academic manner. We should understand also what is Prabhupada's position. It's like now you see, nowadays there are so many books being published. I'm also writing books on Prabhupada's order. But it's not that it's all the same. Prabhupada's books, they're connecting us with Krishna. Prabhupada is a perfectly self-realized soul. He's giving Shastra exactly in the line of Vyasadeva, exactly in the line of the Parampara. And even others may be doing so, Prabhupada's contemporaries or whatever. But Prabhupada, he's giving Krishna consciousness as we need it. He's an expert doctor. In other words, we don't find that throughout Prabhupada's books he's stressing very much on the highest stages of relishing Krishna consciousness. That's also there. But understanding that most people need to develop in Krishna consciousness, he's written his books actually in a way for both liberated and for non-liberated souls, for those who are designed to become liberated. And even Prabhupada's books are very suitable even for people with no desire to be liberated. But by reading them, they'll develop such a desire. So in all ways, Prabhupada's books, they're perfect for all classes of persons. Therefore, we stress on this distributing Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada himself stressed on that, these are the books that will change the course of human civilization. So there are many books being produced, but we have to see books that are being produced. You have to see them after understanding what is Prabhupada's mood, what is his mission. We have to see if those books are taking us within the line of Prabhupada or outside the line. Of course, people may say this is dogmatism. Prabhupada isn't the only guru or whatever. That's true, but certainly we know we're very safe following the path given by Prabhupada. And with others, well, maybe not. They may be with Krishna, maybe not. But we know that if you follow the path given by Prabhupada, he's made everything very clear. That's one thing very wonderful about Prabhupada's books. He's made everything very clear. That we don't have to, we know if we follow this, then we can very clearly make advancement on the path back to Godhead. So here, as in many purports, Prabhupada is stressing the same point in so many places he's made, just to make it clear to us. That there's no, you can't have sense gratification and also become spiritually advanced. It's cheating to recommend such a thing. Of course, a devotee is not a dry renouncer. A devotee he enjoys life, but not on the standard of his own sense gratification. but enjoys life by enjoying in Krishna consciousness. That means doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. And in that way enjoy. Again, even though a devotee may have nice clothes, nice food, nice vehicles, may have these things, but his purpose is only to serve Krishna. He uses everything in Krishna's service. So of course, if one is not sincere, then he may appropriate the items which are meant for Krishna's service, and in the name of Krishna's service, enjoy some sense gratification. So one has to be very sincere in his motives. And that will help us very much to be sincere in our motives. People ask, how can we be sincere? Well, that question could be answered in many ways. But one manner I can recommend is, this will help us very much if we have a desire to be sincere. It will help us very much if we read Prabhupada's books regularly. Because the sincerity that Prabhupada has and that he teaches us in his books, that will be communicated to us. By associating with the sincerity, or by taking the instructions that Prabhupada has given us with his sincere desire to help us, that will be communicated to us. So we should be very careful of others who want to interpret in other ways, who approach this Vedic knowledge with their own paradigms and mindsets. But we should hear from the parampara. That means parampara is going on. Prabhupada has given us his books and gone to preach elsewhere. And now we find after Prabhupada there are Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada's grand disciples, they're preaching. And some are preaching as Prabhupada preached, and others are preaching differently. In the name of Prabhupada, they're saying other things and introducing different ideas. And so we should be careful. It's not that everyone who's a member of ISKCON or who's a disciple of Prabhupada is exactly following what Prabhupada said. So we should know by studying Prabhupada's books what the standard is. And if anyone says something different, which they do, then we should ask, well, this is not according to Prabhupada's book. You have to be very careful. Now life is more complicated than it used to be, because so many people are saying so many things in the name of Prabhupada, which is not actually correct. So please be careful. Stick very carefully at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and his bona fide followers, and in this way make advancement on the path back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. Question.
When we hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures, whether it's the beginning years or later years, there is a consistent pattern. And if you read, just we read a few lectures of Bhaktisiddhanta also, that they are emphasizing on these purports. But I mean, we see a different pattern emerging today among very senior leaders of the movement about. They're mostly talking from Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And the whole lecture is very musical.
Very what?
Musical or very, very sweet to hear. I mean, for new devotees, like new bhaktas like us, the which model, just like, for example, I happened to hear from senior leaders 3-4 lectures at different occasions, like a whole Sunday feast program, is based on just Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, just that past time, for the whole Sunday. But here we hear
Prabhupada's lectures were philosophical. Prabhupada would tell stories, but they would be short stories to illustrate a philosophical point. So better we stick with that. There are so many things, that it's, we can easily just become, just like there are so many, mostly the sadhus, they become popular simply by telling stories. There's no substance. So we should be careful. It's not that telling stories are banned or speaking about the pastimes of the Lord are banned. But unless we keep a philosophical stress, then people will just take the stories as nice stories. to hear. You listen to the stories, and then they don't understand any philosophy, means they don't understand the story either. And then it becomes like the karmis. They go to hear sadhus, just it's some nice story for some semi-religious entertainment. And their life doesn't change. So Prabhupada was pointing out clearly, people are living like cats and dogs. We have to come to Krishna consciousness. So if we're in cat and dog consciousness, what are we going to understand hearing all these pastimes anyway? You're saying that in Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, he's given more stress on Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah.
Actually, this Bhagavad Gita as it, when you say Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, it's not that Prabhupada, Chinmayananda gave his interpretation, Gandhi gave his interpretation, Tila gave his interpretation, Prabhupada has given his interpretation. It's not like this. This is Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. This is not Tilak's interpretation of Bhagavad Gita or Gandhi's interpretation of Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita as it is, this is Krishna's Bhagavad Gita. And in Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, he stresses on bhakti. He teaches, last night I was explaining in the lecture, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes kam, gyan, and yoga, not that he's, some, and bhakti. But it's not as some people say that, well, you can choose any one of them, they're all the same. Prabhupada is explaining them, sorry, Krishna is explaining them all, and Prabhupada afterwards also, just to delineate the superior and superlative position of bhakti. That Kam, Gyan, and Yoga are actually inferior. And I gave the example, I asked, who's considered the greatest batsman in history? So someone said, Donald Bradman. So, I gave the example, well, you can say that, just like Krishna can say, well, bhakti is superior. But then, if you want to understand how Donald Bradman is superior, then you have to compare what is his record with that of Gary Sobers and Sachin Tendulkar and all these other fellows. And then if you say, okay, Sachin's good, Gary Sobers is good, but if you see Bradman, oh, he's the best. So in the same, so the conclusion is Bradman is the best. Bradman who's now dead man. So in the same way, Krishna speaks about karma, jnana and yoga in Bhagavad Gita, but not to say that they're all the same or that you can choose any one, but he shows what are the different characters, what is the result of following karma, what is the result of following jnana, what is the result of following yoga, and comes to the conclusion bhakti is supreme.
Bhakti yoga has been practiced in all yogas, or it is recommended only for Kali Yoga.
Where did you get the idea that it's only for Kali Yoga? If you're speaking about bhakti and different yugas, means you have some kind of background knowledge, you must have read something. So where did you find out that bhakti is only practiced in Kali Yuga?
I was told that the Treta Yuga and other yugas, meditation is done in a more...
Maybe meditation, but Krite Yadhyayato Vishnu. That's actually in Satya Yoga. The Krite means Krita Yuga, Satya Yuga. Yadhyayato, the meditation is Vishnu. The meditation is on Vishnu only. Treta Yuga, there is Lord Ram, so there is no bhakti. Every yuga there is bhakti. Bhakti is always recommended. Yoga means the yoga system may have been followed in other ages, but that was focused on Vishnu bhakti. That wasn't the impersonal meditation system. See, even these things, dhyan, that also comes in bhakti. But that dhyan is on Vishnu. So, Hare Krishna. We'll finish that. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Now, as I was saying about reading Prabhupada's books, I'm also writing books on Prabhupada's order. They're mostly for devotees who have read Prabhupada's books. Some are for those who haven't read Prabhupada's books. I'm also trying to distribute them here. So, I have one practical book, Beginner's Guide to Krishna Consciousness, How to Practice, and some other books about Prabhupada. Two books I've written about Prabhupada, and Ramayana, all these different things. So if anyone would like to take, please take. They're not a replacement for Prabhupada's books, but they're supplements too. Hare Krishna. Yantihayato Vishnu Chaitayo Yajato Makai Dvaparipari Charyayam Kalotad Harikirtanat.